Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're tackling something that honestly sounds a bit like science fiction, but it's grounded in some really solid data science.
It really is. We're looking at sources showing how the human eye, just through simple pictures, can actually give us this incredibly detailed view of your overall systemic health.
Yeah, and it's all thanks to deep learning, to AI. We're not just talking about, you know, needing glasses or checking for cataracts here.
Not at all. We're talking about AI models trained on two kinds of images. You've got the retinal fundus photos, that's the back of the eye, the vessels.
Right.
And then just external eye photos. And these models can predict really serious stuff. Heart conditions, anemia, even how fast you're biologically aging.
Okay, before we get into the weeds, you've got to give us the biggest headline. What's the most, I guess, shocking thing AI can pull from just an eye picture?
I'd say it's the ability to predict your risk of a major cardiac event, a MAE. Clinicians call it major adverse cardiac event.
Just from a retinal photo?
Just from a fundus image, yeah.
Yeah.
The AI could predict the likelihood of you having one of those events within the next 5 years.
Hold on. The standard way, like the European score calculator, that needs your age, gender, smoking, blood pressure, cholesterol, a whole panel.
Right. It's a multi-factor assessment.
And you're saying a single photo of the back of your eye can actually compete with that? Seriously.
It competes well enough to be potentially revolutionary as a screening tool.
Yeah.
Look, the AI achieved an AUC area under the curve of 0.70 for predicting MACE.
Okay, AUC. Remind us, closer to one is better.
Exactly. 1.0 is perfect prediction. Just for context, the same kind of model predicted gender with an AUC of 0.97. Almost perfect. So 0.70 for predicting a heart attack or a similar event. That's strong.
And how did that 0.70 compare to the standard score calculator?
Very comparable. The score calculator came in around 0.72, so they're really in the same ballpark.
Wow. Okay, so you swap potentially quite a few tests, blood work, maybe an hour of time, for a quick photo with a special camera.
Yeah.
You get almost the same predictive power. That's the potential game changer right there.
That's the idea, especially for broad screening.
So let's dig into what the AI is actually seeing back there in the retina. It's this unique place where you can see blood vessels directly, right?
Exactly. And the sources show the AI gets really good at predicting the basic factors that feed into that risk score anyway. Like, it could estimate a person's age pretty well.
How well?
The mean absolute error, the MAE, was about 3.26 years. So on average, its guess was off by just over 3 years.
That's pretty decent. And gender, you said, was almost perfect, 0.97 AUC.
Hmm.
What about the other lifestyle stuff needed for heart risk? Smoking, blood pressure.
Yep, it predicted smoking status with an AUC of 0.71, so reasonably well. And blood pressure for systolic, the MAE was around 11.35 mmHg.
Mm-hmm.
And for diastolic, it was about 6.42 mmHg.
Okay, 11 points margin for systolic. That's maybe not precise enough for a final diagnosis on its own, but definitely good enough to flag someone, right? Like an early warning.
Precisely. A screening or triage tool.
But this brings up the explainability issue. How do we know the AI isn't just picking up on some weird visual artifact that happens to correlate, but isn't biologically real?
That's crucial. And they use saliency maps for that, basically getting the AI to highlight what it was looking at.
Okay.
And for things like age, smoking, systolic blood pressure, the models consistently focused on the retinal blood vessels themselves, the fine details.
Ah, so it confirms the idea that the vessels are like little windows into circulatory health.
Right.
Showing stress, narrowing, dilation.
Exactly. It suggests the AI is picking up on real physiological signs related to those risk factors.
That makes sense. Okay, so moving from risk factors to actual blood measurements.
Yeah.
Anemia is a huge global health problem, right? It affects billions.
Over 1.6 billion people, yeah. And the standard diagnosis needs a blood draw to check hemoglobin levels. Invasive.
But the AI might offer a way around that.
The models trained on fundus images, the back of the eye ones, showed they could predict key CBC measurements related to anemia, hemoglobin, hematocrit, red blood cell count.
How strong were those predictions, like correlation-wise?
Well, for hemoglobin, they got an R-squared value of 0.52.
R-squared. So that means the eye image could explain about half the variation in hemoglobin levels.
Roughly, yeah. 52% of the variance. For a non-invasive method, just looking at a picture, that's a really strong signal. It shows it's capturing something biologically meaningful.
Okay, that's impressive, using the specialized fundus cameras. But You know, not everyone has easy access to those. What about simpler photos? Can we do this with just like a close-up of the outside of the eye?
Yes, and this is where it gets really exciting for accessibility. Researchers built a deep learning system, a DLS, using just external eye photos. No special gear needed, no eye drops.
And how did that perform for anemia?
It significantly outperformed baseline models that didn't use images. For detecting moderate anemia hemoglobin below 11.0 GDL, it showed a big jump in AUC, almost 20% better in one validation set.
Wow. So what was it seeing on the surface of the eye? What's the visual clue?
Well, it actually lines up with something doctors already knew, but the AI quantifies it. It detected signals related to decreased conjunctival vessel prominence.
Conjunctiva, that's the sort of pinkish membrane lining the eyelid.
Exactly. And when someone's anemic, that area can look paler because there's less red blood cell density in those tiny vessels. It's a known clinical sign, but subtle. The AI seems to be picking up on that paleness with high precision.
Okay, that makes total sense. It's automating something observant clinicians might notice.
Right, let's shift gears a bit. From immediate health, like anemia, to the long game. Aging. We talk about biological versus chronological age. Does the eye have its own sort of biological clock?
It seems so. There's this model called eye age. It predicts your chronological age just from a fundus image, and it's pretty accurate MAE between about 2.8 and 3.3 years.
Yeah.
Similar to the general age prediction you mentioned earlier.
Right. But the really breakthrough part wasn't just the accuracy for current age. It was the granularity.
Granularity, meaning how fine a change it can spot.
Precisely. The model was sensitive enough to predict changes in aging happening in less than a year, with like 71% accuracy.
Less than a year? That's really fine grain. Most aging clocks need years of data to see shifts, right?
Exactly. So imagine you're testing an anti-aging therapy. This could potentially give you feedback much, much faster. It's a big deal for longitudinal studies.
And you hinted earlier that this eye age thing is measuring something unique. It's not just reflecting what blood tests show.
That's one of the most fascinating findings. They looked at eye age acceleration, basically. Is your eye predicted age older or younger than your actual age?
Okay.
And they compared that to PhenoAge acceleration, which is a well-known aging clock based on 9 different blood markers.
Are they correlated?
Surprisingly, no, or very weakly. The correlation was only 0.12. Essentially, they found that eye age acceleration and PhenoAge acceleration are largely independent of each other once you account for actual age and sex.
So the eye is telling a different story about biological aging than the blood is.
It really seems to be capturing a distinct layer, a different aspect of systemic aging, something the standard blood markers just don't reflect in the same way.
That's wild. Did they try to figure out the why? Like, look at the genetics behind this eye age.
They did. They ran a big genome-wide association study, a GWXAS, linking that eye age acceleration score to specific genes.
And they found hits?
They found 12 independent genetic locations or loci that were significantly associated. And the top hit, the strongest signal, was in a region containing the LEL2 gene.
LEL2. Okay, but how do you confirm that gene is actually involved in aging, not just statistically linked in humans?
Right. Correlation isn't causation. So they did experimental validation. They went to fruit flies, Drosophila. They looked at the fly version of that gene, which is called ALK. The idea was if the AI correctly linked LEL2 to faster aging in humans, maybe inhibiting the ALK gene in flies would slow down some aspect of aging there.
Makes sense. What happened when they inhibited the fly gene?
They saw a significant improvement in the fly's visual performance as they aged. Their ability to respond to light improved by up to 30% compared to normal aging flies.
Wow. So the AI pointed to a gene, and then messing with that gene in a different species actually impacted an age-related function. That's powerful validation.
It's profound, really. The AI didn't just find a pattern. It helped uncover a potential biological mechanism of aging that seems conserved across species.
Okay, switching gears again, let's talk about predicting specific diseases. Age-related macular degeneration, AMD, it's a leading cause of vision loss. Predicting when it might worsen, especially to the wet or neovascular form, NVAMD, is critical.
Absolutely. Saving sight often depends on catching that transition early.
How did the AI models stack up against human experts grading eye scans to predict that one-year progression to NVAMD?
The AI pretty much blew the manual grading scales out of the water. Human experts use these complex multi-step scales, right? Like a 9-step scale or a simpler 4-category 1.
Mm-hmm.
But for predicting who would progress to NVAMD within a year, the deep learning algorithm achieved 78% sensitivity while keeping specificity at 80%. That was for the general group with some level of AMD.
And the human graders using the scales?
The best they did with the detailed 9-step scale was 67% sensitivity. The simpler 4-category scale only managed 48%.
So even the most complex human method was significantly behind the AI. Why? What gave the AI the edge?
The sources point to two main things. First, consistency. The AI applies the same criteria perfectly every single time. Humans. While grading can be subjective, varies day to day, grader to grader. But second, and maybe more importantly, the AI seems to be detecting novel features, patterns or subtle signs in the image that just aren't part of the existing human grading scales. Even the complex 9-step scale is based on known predefined features. The AI isn't limited by that. It sees the whole picture.
That leads us perfectly into what might be the most crucial part of this whole story, AI explainability. If the AI is seeing things we don't, or using information in unexpected ways, we absolutely need to understand what's going on inside that black box.
Couldn't agree more. This is where the AI isn't just a diagnostic tool. It starts acting like a mirror, reflecting back not just biology, but also biases in our data and systems.
How do researchers even start to unpack what the AI is thinking?
They use techniques like the StyleX framework. It generates images showing the minimal change needed to flip the AI's prediction. Interdisciplinary teams, doctors, data scientists then review these to figure out why the AI decided what it did.
Okay, so does it confirm known biology sometimes, like a sanity check?
Yes, definitely. For instance, when predicting smoking status from fundus images, the AI explanations highlighted retinal vein dilation, which is a known cardiovascular effect of smoking.
Right.
And for high blood pressure, it highlighted arteriolar narrowing, again, a classic sign doctors look for. So that works. That's the positive control.
But the really fascinating stuff happens when it finds something unexpected. Tell us the eyeliner story.
Yeah.
That one involves the external eye photos and predicting low hemoglobin, right?
Right. So the model predicting low hemoglobin found a significant association with increased thickness of upper eyelid eyeliner.
Eyeliner thickness. How on earth is that biologically linked to your blood count?
It's not. Not at all. The expert panel reviewing this figured it out pretty quickly. Eyeliner use is heavily correlated with demographic factors, mainly sex and maybe age, within that particular data set. And those demographic factors, in turn, happen to correlate with the likelihood of having low hemoglobin in that specific group of people. So the AI, being ruthlessly efficient, just latched onto the easiest visual proxy it could find, a cultural artifact, makeup, instead of a biological sign.
That is incredible. The AI literally found a shortcut through demographics disguised as eyeliner. It shows how biased data can totally mislead the model if you don't check its reasoning.
Exactly. It acts as this powerful auditor of your data quality and potential confounders.
And there was another example related to diabetes markers, HbA1c, that revealed a different kind of bias, right? Something about the healthcare system itself.
Yes. This one's subtle but really important. The model was predicting elevated HbA1c, a marker for poor long-term blood sugar control in diabetes.
Okay.
And it found that increased thickness of the corneal arcus.
Corneal arcus, that whitish ring you sometimes see on the edge of the cornea, often with age or cholesterol.
That's the one. The AI found that more corneal arcus was associated with a lower probability of having high HbA1c.
Wait, that seems backwards. Usually, things associated with aging or cardiovascular risk factors would trend with higher diabetes risk or poorer control, not against it.
Exactly. It's counterintuitive. The panel's hypothesis here pointed to survivorship bias.
Survivorship bias, meaning?
The data came from a specific diabetic screening program. The people with the really high uncontrolled HbA1c levels, they likely would have been identified and immediately referred out of that screening program into more intensive specialized care.
Ah, so they weren't in the data set the AI was trained on anymore.
Precisely. They were effectively removed. Cool. So the older patients with corneal arcus who remained in the screening data set were, perhaps by definition, the ones who were managing okay or were generally healthier survivors within that diabetic population.
So the AI learned an artificially reversed correlation because the sickest people were missing from the data?
Wow.
It highlights how the structure of healthcare delivery itself can get baked into the data and potentially mislead AI if we're not extremely careful with interpreting the results and the why.
This really drives home that AI in medicine isn't just plug and play. It's a powerful tool, yes, but it requires this deep, critical analysis of both the biology and the data's origins.
Absolutely. And remember, this isn't just about heart risk and anemia. Other sources showed promise using external eye photos for markers related to kidney function. Things like ACR and EGFR liver health, AST, even white blood cell and platelet counts. The potential scope is just enormous.
So wrapping this up, this deep dive has really shown the incredible breadth of what AI could potentially pull from just looking at our eyes. Cardiovascular risk, blood counts, a unique measure of biological aging, even predicting disease like AMD better than experts. It's astounding.
The non-invasive screening potential is huge.
But maybe the even bigger takeaway is this dual nature of the AI. Yes, it finds new biology, like that LDL2 gene linked to aging validated in flies. That's amazing discovery potential.
Right.
But it also, through explainability, acts as this critical mirror. It shows us the hidden flaws, the biases, the shortcuts in our own data collection, like the eyeliner proxy or that survivorship bias.
It forces a level of scrutiny that's essential. We need to treat these AI systems not just as potential diagnosticians, but as data auditors as well. It's about improving the algorithms and the context they operate in.
So as these technologies develop and potentially make health screening so much more accessible, we'll leave you with this thought. What other crucial health signals are hiding in plain sight, waiting for AI to find them? And maybe just as importantly, what other hidden biases in our health systems will it uncover next?